Well, I was just asking how you are, really, and not necessarily expecting a reply. That's okay, but we can certainly have our struggles, can't we? I haven't had an easy week this week, spiritually, if I'm perfectly honest about it, and that's why we all need encouragement, isn't it? And so we're going to look at this man called Tychicus in Colossians chapter 4. And I also combined it with this reading from Psalm 68, which is said to be one of the most difficult psalms to interpret. Some of them often are. But it begins with the Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaimed it are a mighty throng. Although in older versions it says those who proclaimed it. So there's a bit of a debate there. There seems to be a feminine noun, or I'm not quite sure what the Hebrew is doing there. But certainly when we come to the New Testament, we see God pouring out his spirit on the day of Pentecost, which I believe is referred to in the last verse of our reading, where he gave gifts to men. You know, when you ascended on high, you took many captives and who received gifts from God, which is again quoted in the book of Ephesians and is often referred back to the day of Pentecost. So even though we might be feeling bit down, discouraged, even though we might be struggling, we need to always come back to God and remember what he's done and his purposes and what he's doing and done in our lives personally as well. And earlier on in the service, we were really praying and asking that God would forgive us, renew us, and fill us again with his Holy Spirit. Well, as we will see, Tychicus was someone who was an encourager, and that's really what I maybe is something just going to need to we need to hear this morning, in that recognizing how much we personally need encouragement and the encouragement of the body, and also to recognize how important it is for even the person sitting next to us to receive encouragement. And so this really was certainly an emphasis in the life of this man, Tychicus. I will read these verses again. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. In other words, he's being sent from Rome by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae, which is a good journey. It would be a good journey these days. It certainly was even more so. I don't know how long it would have taken, probably several weeks. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him to you for this express purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. In other words, Onesimus was from Colossae originally. Onesimus, there's a little book written about him in the New Testament, Philemon, and Onesimus was a runaway slave. Well, now he was going back to Colossae and would meet his slave master, who'd also become a Christian, and there's a little book about that. We're not really focusing on that, but just to note that Onesimus is mentioned here as well, and he also is a faithful and dear brother. And they will tell you everything that is happening here. Now, Paul's letters are full of wonderful things, and often at the end we come to these sort of personal greetings and encouragements, and we get the names of various people who are mentioned. Certainly that's in the book of Romans and some of Paul's other letters, and we find it here as well. And it's very, very easy to pass over these verses quickly without really spending too much time in them. And yet, when we do, we will find that there is a huge amount here that can really encourage us. I wonder, Peter, if you could put the first slide up. And I don't think I've... Oh, yes, here we go. And so I've called this message this morning, Faithful in the Shadows. Because I think it would be true to say that Tychicus is probably not someone we know too much about. We know about Paul, of course. We know about Peter, James, and John, and people like Thomas, the 12 disciples. But who's Tychicus? Well, in a sense, we're all a bit in the shadows, aren't we? Because we're not particularly well-known people in that sense. And therefore, I think we can identify with people like Tychicus and actually learn a lot from him. Faithfulness in the shadows. Tychicus was a faithful brother, and yet someone who was not particularly prominent, and yet faithful. What does it look like to be faithful in obscurity, unseen, when it seems that no one is really noticing? It can be difficult. But it does remind me of back actually in chapter 3, where Paul was addressing the slaves in the congregation at Colossae, people who most certainly weren't in any position of prominence at all. After all, they were slaves. And Paul said to them, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Because the Lord sees, you see. And the Lord knows our hearts. And not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Not serving other people, we're serving him. So, who was Tychicus? We could just go on to the next slide, Peter. Who was Tychicus? Well, the smallest man in the Bible, Tychy. Yeah. But as you realize from Elizabeth that there are actually different ways of pronouncing his name, but certainly when I went onto YouTube, it was Tychicus, and that's something that I can remember. He was from Asia Minor. Asia Minor, it's modern day Turkey. So he was an Asian. We find that out from when he appears in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, as part of Paul's apostolic team. And it is not impossible at all, in fact, likely that he came from Ephesus. So he wouldn't have been known to the Colossians themselves, but certainly from that region. His name, Tychy, comes from the Greco-Roman goddess of chance or luck, which gives an indication of his background, a Gentile background, but a pagan background, which would definitely fit in with the scene of Ephesus. But of course, Ephesus, particularly under the ministry of Paul, had become a vibrant center for Christianity at the time. For example, in Acts chapter 19, we find that Paul was teaching in the lecture hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. And so it's not impossible, in fact, even likely, that Tychicus came to faith through Paul's ministry when he first heard the gospel. And who knows, he might even have been attending Paul's teaching in the lecture hall of Tyrannus for those 2 years and really receiving those foundations and discipleship in his life. And it was clear that he was a man that God had gifted. And though not prominent, as we see, he played a pivotal role in encouraging churches that were under Paul's influence and care, for example, the church at Colossae. So when we look at these three short verses in Colossians, we see, I think, two things about Tychicus. First of all, the character of the man, and secondly, his mission. Now, I should say, first of all, that his mission was to deliver the letter that Paul had written to the Colossians. Of course, there was no postal service, and the normal thing was a courier and perhaps one or two others to take the letter and actually to deliver the letter. But as we all see, his mission was more than being just a postman. So if we look first of all at his character, there we go. So Paul commends Tychicus, who wasn't known to the Colossians, as a dear brother, as a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Let's look at these three commendations. First of all, a dear brother. Of course, not a natural genetic brother, but a brother in the Lord. Reminds us that we are, if we're in Christ, we are spiritual brothers and sisters in the Lord, in Christ. And in fact, as we see, even from Jesus' example and his teaching, that really is a spiritual bond that transcends natural bonds. And when Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters were trying to talk to him, and it was pointed out to Jesus, "Here's your mother, here are your brothers and sisters." Jesus said these words, "Who are my brothers or sisters or mother?" He said, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and sister and my mother." So, dear brother, first of all, is a term of deep affection. Paul clearly had a deep affection for Tychicus. And we can imagine that there were many others. He was sort of singled out as being a dear brother. The word dear, actually, in some translations of the Bible, is translated as beloved, because maybe that's actually a slightly better translation, because it comes from the Greek adjective agapetos, which comes from, if you like, is linked to the noun agape, which is the word which is so often used in the New Testament for love, but the love of God. So Tychicus is a dear, beloved brother. And this kind of love is the same love that the Father had for Jesus. When Jesus came up from the waters of baptism, these words were heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Reminds us the kind of love that we should have for one another, not just based on emotions, but based on commitment to the body of Christ. Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The kind of love that was intended, is intended to be within the Christian community, because, as Paul said in Romans chapter 5, that God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Spirit. And this is intended to be a witness. But even within a Christian community where we have this kind of love, it's clear that Tychicus stood out as a dear, beloved brother in Christ, certainly as far as Paul was concerned. And so Paul is really commending Tychicus to the congregation, really saying, he's someone I can trust. He's a dear brother. He's a safe pair of hands, which actually also reminds us that we don't just have anyone coming to speak in the church. There needs to be some recommendation that we know who's coming to share. But secondly, he was a faithful servant. The word servant is also minister. Used of Epaphras, actually, at the beginning of Colossians, where Paul talks about Epaphras, who's our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So we can see that Tychicus is a minister on behalf of Paul. He is a faithful minister. And it's been said absolutely correctly that the big thing in God's eyes is not so much the thing, but faithfulness. Often we want the thing. Tychicus was never called an apostle. He's never called a pastor or even an elder or anything like that. But he was called faithful. And that's what the Lord's calling all of us to be faithful. When Jesus said on that day in the parable of the tenants, he didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful apostle." He didn't say, "Well done, whatever we do." He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." So Tychicus was, first of all, a dear brother. Secondly, he was a faithful servant. And thirdly, Paul describes him as a fellow servant, someone who shared in Paul's ministry, someone who had been brought into Paul's ministry team. And so he's able to call him a fellow servant in the Lord. And in fact, it's very likely that Tychicus, in fact, more than likely, almost certain, that wasn't just carrying one letter, but he was also carrying the letter of Philemon, as well as the letter of Colossians. And it's very possible also that he was carrying the Ephesian letter as well. So let's look next at his mission. If we could just go on to the next slide, please. In verses 8 to 9, it says, "I'm sending you to him for this express purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you, and he will tell you everything that is happening here. A twofold mission, to first of all inform, and secondly to encourage, that you may know about our circumstances. In other words, to tell the congregation about how Paul was, how he was getting on. Remember, at the time of writing, this is one of the prison epistles. He was under house arrest in Rome. And this is, I think, the arrest at the end of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 28. So they came to share about Paul, how Paul was getting on. And actually, we can imagine that it would have been a very positive report that he was giving, because even though Paul was under house arrest at the time, he was able to talk to people. Many people came to see him. He was still able to preach the gospel within the confines of his own house. So we can imagine maybe sharing about conversions that had happened, encouragements that Paul had experienced, as well as challenges. Maybe also Tychicus was able to bring news from other churches like Rome or Ephesus or Philippi to know how that they're getting on, and to hear about how the gospel was advancing. And all these things that we can imagine would have been a great encouragement to the church at Colossae, just as these sorts of things are encouragements to us when we hear about how other churches are getting on. And we have a bit of a link with the church, with the fellowship at Landbeach. It's encouraging to hear when they're getting on well, or other churches around about. This is one way in which we can encourage one another. Actually, looking outside the walls of our own church, and seeing that there is a much bigger Christian world out there, praying for others, being encouraged and being able to encourage. And so we can see Tychicus there in that picture. I have to admit that that's AI produced. And when I produced it first time, everyone was looking incredibly sad. No one was smiling. And so I just said, make the faces smile. By the way, you can tell it's AI because they all look the same, or particularly the women at the bottom. But I don't think it's necessarily too bad representation. But then I thought, well, I wish it was as easy in real life, you know, when people are looking miserable, than just to say smile. Anyway, we got there with that picture, but I couldn't put them there all looking miserable. So staying connected with the wider body of Christ. We can see it was important in the early church. It's so important for us to stay connected as well with one another and outside of our own situation. But secondly, and key, I think, that you know, to inform, but also that he will encourage your hearts. Tychicus clearly had a ministry that was more than being just the postman. And this is why Paul sent this dear brother and faithful minister and fellow servant who'd been very much part of his ministry. And this, in fact, fits in very much with the cultural norm of how letters were delivered in the ancient world. Because many people couldn't read, and also the parchments couldn't be that easily reproduced, so people wouldn't have access to it. So when the courier took a letter, not just happened obviously within the church, but the recorded secular examples of the same thing, the courier would also read the letter to a gathered congregation. The courier would perhaps explain different parts of the letter. And which is why in the picture there, we've got some people putting their hands up and asking questions, maybe to clarify different parts. And Tychicus, being so close to Paul, would have known the heart and intent of Paul and what he was trying to communicate in the letter. Sometimes 2,000 years later, it's not so straightforward. We know the letter was read. It says in verse 16, after this letter has been read to you, and then see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, which was up the valley a bit. So Tychicus, there is encouraging, part of his ministry to encourage the hearts of the believers at Colossae. So this whole ministry of encouragement, which, as I said right at the beginning, is just so important, and we are all in so much need of it. In fact, it was almost the way in which Paul himself defined his own ministry. Again, in the the second chapter of Colossians, he said, the goal of my ministry is that they may be encouraged in heart. So that was the goal of his ministry. Encouraged in heart. And then he says, and united in love. In order that they, speaking of the Colossians, may have the full riches of a complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. So Paul's goal was to encourage the Colossians, and that they may be united in heart by writing the letter. But then he sends his apostolic delegate in Tychicus to actually have to deliver the letter and to be his representative. We see this ministry of encouragement all over the New Testament. It says somewhere in Hebrews, I think it's 13, encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. It's something that we can all do, even by offering to pray for people or to bring an encouraging word or being a listening ear. So, in conclusion, can we have the last slide, please? Faithfulness. Tychicus was a faithful servant, not one, a man who was in the limelight, but he was faithful. Faithful in delivering the letter, faithful in ministering to the church at Colossae, and we see the great value of this kind of hidden ministry and unseen service. Let's just bow our hearts and heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise and we thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, Lord, as it says in Hebrews, to hold unswerving to the hope that we profess, because you, O Lord, are faithful. Help us, Heavenly Father, we pray, to stand firm in our faith. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be those who are able to encourage and to lift others up, Lord, and pointing people to Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.